Welcome to This On, Season 5, Episode 17, where we watch The Bradshaw Bunch, Season 1, Episode 1. I'm Chris Lorenz.
This is Brian.
Robert Kitts.
Noah Singer.
Oh, this is James.
This is John Maxson, NFL 2020.
All right.
Not your best, Max.
Well, this is your first time. Each week, we watch a different reality show, generally one episode each, and we review and critique and try to make fun of, who knows, whatever, about that episode and rate it at the end. So welcome. This week, we watch The Bradshaw Bunch. Rob, can you give us the show description?
Legendary quarterback and television broadcast icon Terry Bradshaw gives us an intimate look at life in the offseason. He's been called the greatest of all time, but now this touchdown titan spends his days surrounded by women in his most coveted position, world's greatest dad. As husband, father, and poppy to the Bradshaw Bunch, Terry hilariously helps his family navigate the pitfalls of their extraordinary lives and lets you in on a side of Terry Bradshaw you've never seen before. That's The Bradshaw Bunch on E.
On E, thank you.
That's a lengthy description, though. Just me? It's a big one.
It's a little lengthy. We've had longer.
I mean, that's true. There's been bigger.
It seems fine.
Okay. Yeah, so the show is just Terry and his family hanging out. So, like, essentially this episode is the introduction of the family and some minor stuff that happens. We'll get into it, I guess. So we got Terry, obviously NFL quarterback, the only reason the show exists, really.
And should exist.
Should it? Should it, Brian? Should it?
We'll get into that.
It's just one of those, you know, celebrity on TVs, let's see what their life is like thing. That's it. There you go. That's the show.
There's an interesting moment where Terry says, or I don't know if it's Terry or someone else says, we're not the Kardashians here. And that's exactly what this show is. It's just another exactly Kardashians show.
Hold on. That is the show.
I mean, getting the Crisley Knows Best vibe.
Yep.
No, this was a Bush family brood.
It's all the same.
This is Bush family brood, but like with a celebrity that you would actually like recognize because he's on TV, unlike the Bush guy, which nobody's ever seen. Yeah. And arguably is not a great TV personality. But unlike Terry Bradshaw, which is at least a TV person, like his job is a TV personality. So he's got that going for him.
The thing about the Bush family is they're not celebrities. They're just rich.
Right.
And so Terry Bradshaw is rich, but he's also, as you say, a TV personality and celebrity. So he's more suited for this stuff.
He is already a TV professional coming into this thing. You know, his family is not, but.
Same thing with Crisley Knows Best. Like, who the fuck is Crisley? Like, I don't know. Like, he's just some fucking dude. Same thing with those Bush family people. Like, they're just dudes that, like, have money. And they're not even good actors. They aren't even good enough actors to be on anything like this. Is garbage. Anyway, let's get back to this show. So we got Terry, which everyone knows, NFL quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, has been commentator on Fox, I think, forever.
Oh, yeah. Everyone knows this. Everybody who's on this pod definitely knew that fact.
This is also a sports pod on the side, right?
I mean, like, maybe not everyone, but there you go.
We've discussed Terry Bradshaw on this pod before because he was on season one of The Masked Singer.
As yes. He self says, he is known from football. Like, that's his thing. He's known for football. Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback, four-time Super Bowl champ, like multiple MVPs, NFL Hall of Famer, College Hall of Famer, etc. And he's a football guy. And, well, he's been on, Fox NFL Sunday forever. As a host and anchor or whatever. So, I mean, he's pretty well known, I think, if you're a football watcher. Outside of that, couldn't blame you.
Once I saw the guy, I was like, okay, yeah, I recognize this guy. I recognize his voice. However, Chris said we were watching like the Terry Bradshaw show. And I thought he said the Carrie Bradshaw show, which is the lady from Sex and the City. And I was like, that's not really reality, but okay.
how surprised were you when you rolled the episode and it was a very different
episode? Not surprised, it made a lot more sense.
So he the intro for Terry here is like he's an award-winning announcer. Is that like, I assume that's a real thing, but it seems a lot like the NFL or like the Nightclub Hall of Fame. Like, who gives freaking people announcers?
I bet you he's won like an SB or something for like announcing. I don't know. Can the internet corner pull this up? Like, he's got to have like.
All right. On the Google, it says Sports Emmy Award for Outstanding Sports Personality / Studio Analyst 2009, 2002, 2000.
Sports Emmy?
Three-peat.
That got yeah, get that sports.
He's been doing it for
Emmy.
Like 20, 30 years at this point. He's only won three. So, like,
yeah. He's only won three Emmys.
He's a little bit at this point.
Wow.
I'm just messing with you. Yeah, I
once
mean,
you win one, it goes on the resume.
Yeah, you don't need to win more than one, I guess. So once we get introduced to Terry, we get introduced to his family. So we get Tammy, which is his current wife. Unclear how long they've been married or how long. No idea.
I don't think they're married. I think they're dating.
Oh.
They've been dating for 15 years, I believe.
Internet Corner says they married in 2014.
Oh, wait, no, you're right. They are married. They were dating for a while.
Competing Internet Corners here.
Yeah, no, they are married. I take that back.
Then we have Rachel, which is the oldest daughter, but she's a widower. A widow?
She was widowed.
She is a widow.
Yeah. I don't know when her husband died.
When she was 27.
2014, her husband died.
Yeah. I was like, but I don't know how old she is now.
I think she's like 30 or something right now.
Well, in 2014, she was 27.
Yeah, there you go. Which is like 33 or whatever.
Art. Like, kind of my.
Yeah. And her husband was an NFL kicker. Is that right?
Yeah, yes.
Rob Baronis. Then we've got Lacey and Noah, which is the middle daughter. They have two kids, Jeb and Zuri, and they live in Hawaii. And the big plot line for this episode, is trying to get them to move to Texas from Hawaii, which is a bad deal. Especially for a professional cook, like, yeah, you know, Hawaii is probably a great place for that. Texas, I don't know.
Texas is not going to be fun. It doesn't have a beach.
One of the selling points they had is like, yeah, when you're in Texas, you can buy a home. Like, you're part of the Bradshaw family. You probably have a lot of money.
If you want a home, Terry will help you with that home for sure.
Yeah.
There was definitely some dissonance there because they talk about like, well, you can buy a home here. Then later in the episode, Noah talks like how the Bradshaw lifestyle is very unusual to him because they're popping bottles of expensive wine and flying on private jets.
Yeah, it's kind of manufactured, obviously. Then we have Aaron and Scott, which Aaron is the youngest daughter, and the other plot line of this episode was Aaron got a boob job. Unclear when, but she did not tell Terry, and Terry wanted her to tell him, even though he found out already. But it was awkward, as you would imagine. I guess Rachel's plot line, this episode was also really dumb, where Terry just bought like some park benches and put seal the deal with her face on it.
And phone number.
And phone number.
All right.
The idea being it would be like a real estate deal.
Yeah.
Do you think that was a real ad or something they just totally did to make a storyline for the show?
No, I'm going to give you a thing. I'm going to tell you right now that everything in this episode was made up and set up for this show. They're like, Rachel, clearly, I could see being a real estate person, like whatever, use Terry to like, you could easily catapult yourself into that career. But then
they killed your husband for the show just to set it up.
It's possible. But it's clear the seal the deal was some producer's idea and set it up, and like, we'll just put it out on this park bench, we'll shoot this thing, we'll blah 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 blah, and it'll all work out. Because people are so gullible that they think that this shit is real. Not.
Like, they saw the bench, and it definitely, like, it looked like some cheap thing that had been stretched across the bench and not like a real bench advertising thing. Like, it was so...
Yeah, I don't even think that bench has advertising on it.
No.
They just took a bench and put some, like, some poster board that they printed this stupid ad on, which looked really bad. Like... unbelievable bad.
Yeah. Like, Terry Bradshaw didn't spring for the good stuff.
Yeah, he's just like, oh, let me put up... It's like if Terry Bradshaw opened up Photoshop, he's like, let me make the seal the deal ad, and I've got this terrible Facebook photo of my daughter. Let's put that in here on the side. And like, just like, laughable.
I like the touch, though, that they blurred out the phone number. So they put the fake ad, they put a phone number on it, and then they blurred it out so we couldn't see it.
It's weird because the computer, when they showed it on the computer the first time, I didn't see a phone number there.
It was blurred out.
Okay. I must have missed that.
Yeah.
I know it was blurred out on the actual bench or whatever.
It was more obvious on the bench, for sure.
Yeah. So I am going to confirm... That is extremely likely that it is a producer concocted idea, which is what TribLive.com quotes it as. The reason being, there are no Google images for Seal the Deal, Rachel Bradshaw. You'd assume there'd be a whole many if people were shooting pictures of these around Texas.
I don't think that's confirmation. I think it is highly likely.
It's some good corroboration.
Yeah.
Didn't we already come to that conclusion? Like,
well, we were kind of like our armchair, you know, doing it, but I got the power of Google here.
All right, Mr. Internet Corner.
He's backing up your sick burns.
Don't knock the Internet Corner, Chris.
I'm not. Is there, like, nothing else really happens in this episode, right?
Well, there's like, the pool party.
Oh, yeah, the pool party. So Terry's big idea to get Aaron to tell him about the boob job was to throw a pool party in the middle of February, which was... James, how cold was it?
No idea. They're in Oklahoma, right?
Texas. It's a little bit cold.
They're in Texas.
Well, here's a question I've been meaning to bring up. So we've been discussing Texas? I'm pretty sure in the intro of the show, they're like, we own this huge ranch in Oklahoma, something, something. So I'm very confused. Are they on the Oklahoma-Texas border? Like, where are we? Like, I actually don't know what town they're really in.
Terry kept saying, I want Aaron or whatever the daughter to move to Texas. That's why I think they're in Texas.
Well, those aren't mutually exclusive things. Like, maybe he's trying to convince them to move to Texas because... Texas is at least better for a chef than Oklahoma, but Oklahoma and Texas are bordered. So maybe it's reasonable to, like, you know, you a couple hour drive and you can see each other versus being in Hawaii.
Yeah.
It's just a couple hour
flight. You could even be talking like a 30 minute drive realistically. Like, you know, I mean, depending on what town, like, I'm sure there's some borders.
So they live in Thackerville, Oklahoma, which is like literally on the border with Texas. Which is why I think they do it interchangeably.
Yeah, that makes more sense then. So, I mean, Texas, Oklahoma, it's like, yeah, interchangeable for purposes here.
Yeah, they're about an hour and a half outside Dallas.
Yeah. So back to how cold it was. Apparently, there was a freeze warning the day of the pool party. So we're talking like 30s. Not super cold, but not like... It's way too cold to have a pool party.
Right. It's cold for a pool. It's not your pool weather, you know.
What about a hot tub party, though?
Be a good hot tub party. That's a great point, Max. Why the hell was it not a hot tub party?
Dude,
it's a great
that
question.
Pool is definitely heated.
Yeah, there's no... So Terry jumps in the pool. Mm. There's no way that pool was, like, just regular pool temperature. A, you wouldn't have a pool open in February if... It was, you didn't heat it. Like, that's just not going to happen. There's no reason to have a pool open when it's 30 degrees outside.
I mean, I guess that's right. Like, this dude's super rich. He can afford to heat a pool. No problems. Pool party.
Rich and pool the party daughter, the, like, granddaughter jumps in. Like, clear that Terry was, he was playing it up a bit.
Man, that, talking about playing it up, that granddaughter is hamming it up for that camera. Just every shot, just total ham.
Yeah, those producers and that camera man really got a lot out of her. Like, there's a lot of
must have shot those multiple times. Like, I can't believe she's just come up with these quibs. Like,
well, this is the thing.
After another,
I don't think she's coming up with any of them. I think everything she's doing is scripted, and they've decided, hey, we need a character who's like really sarcastic and like sassing Terry. We'll make it his 7-year-old granddaughter, which is an interesting decision.
Yeah, I think you're right.
There's even shots where they're doing our one thing we like, the podcast and the show, which is Terry and her off on the side commenting on everything else that's going on. Which, those are clearly scripted, but they're actually, like, I gotta give them credit. Like, that was actually kind of fun. Like, I thought they scripted them well, and the daughter, like, sold the lines pretty well. But it's clearly, like, no way she's coming up with all these one-liners. There's no way.
I mean, that's the thing about this show that I feel is that everything is scripted, but I feel like Terry's actually funny. And it, like, kind of holds this whole thing together, which is amazing.
His energy is so infectious and positive. It's very pleasant.
Yeah, it's so weird to me. Usually these shows are, like, so scripted and I hate them. But this show is so scripted and, like, Terry just brings it.
Well, I feel like that's both true, but also he's sometimes just very cringy. And I feel like it sort of oscillates a little bit. I wish he'd like was dialing down the cringe factor a little bit, especially around the boob job. But you're right. Like, there's things that Terry is managing to sell this shit in a good way.
Yeah, especially this like pool party. Like, this would have been this so bad in every other show.
Right.
It's bad in the show, but it like I think this somehow kind of like makes that entertaining somehow. Unclear.
Like, we already talked about Bush Family Brood, and like I hated that show, and this is basically the same show, but this show is definitely a lot better. And I think it's mostly because Terry, as we talked about, is a TV personality who is actually a sort of an entertaining person to watch.
100%. I mean, Terry is the glue of this show. Like, he is the peanut butter.
And it's odd that like the daughters also don't really pull down the show to that like level. Like they're not nearly as good as Terry, but they're like not like garbage, which will also pull the show down.
All three of them have something like mildly interesting going on in their life.
But it's all manufactured part of their lives, Max.
Sure, like, sure. Sure. But they're also just like not despicable like all of the Bush Family Brood people. Like, I don't hate anybody on the show. I just don't give a shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like Aaron got a boob job. Who knows when that was? But like, Terry probably already knew about it. That whole thing set up for this show to be like, oh, we're going to talk about your boob job, and that's going to be your plot line for this episode. And you're like, okay, that's sure. And she didn't like completely bomb that whole plot line somehow.
It is super weird for the producers to choose that as the first plot line, for her father to be oddly obsessed with his daughter's boob job.
That's also like a good point.
It's very strange.
Did you get obsessed vibes? I don't know that I picked up obsessed.
He hosted a fake pool party to see his daughter's boob job.
I mean, that doesn't seem great. I mean,
it's February.
Yeah.
To get his daughter to tell him about the boob job.
Right, like, to be fair, that's not how he ended up finding out. Like, he sat down and had a conversation while she was wearing a sweater. So, like, just to set the scene, like, there was the whole, like, pool party was going to happen, but, like, I don't remember it happening. Did I zone out there? Like, what happened?
He didn't bring a bathing suit, and it was cold out, so only him and Zuri went in the pool.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it seems like the whole, like, obsession thing is just kind of the plot line to get, ultimately, to where the show wanted to get to, which was the conversation. And they just wanted to like have the conversation between the father and daughter about the boobed up thing, and like, and that was like just their interesting like catch for the first episode, I think.
Maybe this was Terry in real life trying to get to have this conversation with her daughter or with his daughter.
I'm sure that they've like already had the convo, but like the other part of this would be like she's on the show. So like at some point it's gonna be obvious of like, wait, you're gonna be interacting with your dad. So we got to get this conversation out of the way because you've already had the boob job. Like, it's over. So we just got to, like, if that's going to be a plot line, we just got to do it episode one.
I don't know.
I'm trying to, imagine the producer's mindset here. It's whatever. I feel like all these episodes are sort of, like, it doesn't really matter. You're just kind of going along, casually watching. Like, it's not, it's nothing super deep to really get invested in, it feels like.
I think the Rachel plot line was, like, the dumbest. Oh, yeah. With the whole ad. They didn't spend a whole lot of time on the ad. But it was, like, dumb. Rachel, probably the one that held the show down the most.
Like, just trying to deal with that whole sign thing? Or, like,
I don't know. She provided nothing. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I have a bunch of minor minutia that we could go over. Or we can go over wait till questions to go over them.
We can go over the questions.
Should we go to questions? Are we good?
Yeah, let's do questions. Because those things will come out in the questions.
I'm really waiting for that cringe-worthy question. I hope we get that one.
We'll get all the questions, I promise you.
Okay.
So we got a list of, if you're first time, this is a list of questions we go through each episode. Some of them, you know, our first one, which is, who's the worst human being? This is a scale for this particular show, not a scale for, like,
people.
Political atmosphere or like some like X on the Beach, like some of those shows got some really bad people on it, so like this is just for this episode. Max, yes.
Tom Brady.
I'm not sure there's really any like really bad human beings in this show.
I don't know, Terry's getting close.
What? You can't just throw that out there, Brian. You're gonna have to make a statement.
No, I'm still on team. Like, he was a little too obsessed about like the whole boob job thing, and then, oh, what else was there? Like, he was also talking about like scrotum talk, and like it was just like getting real weird.
Brian, I think I agree with you. If he actually bought that billboard, like that's that would be like, even to bring that kind of billboard idea up as like a real like idea, that would put you in the worst human, the worst person for this show.
Yeah, he got the feedback about the slogan on there, so, and he, like, didn't take anything.
Let's be clear, he knows what that means.
Yeah,
right.
Like, it's bullshit. But the fact that they made it seem like it was real, he is, or the producer is, the worst
human. Oh, the producer, yeah.
The producers are always the worst human beings in these shows, but like. Yeah.
Well, I think it gets back to, like, everyone else in the show is just such a nothing. Like, Terry is the show. So, like, Terry's the only one doing anything good or bad. So, well, who did anything that was kind of bad or cringy? Like, well, it was Terry. So, I think that's the outcome. Everyone else is just nothing.
Yeah, I don't think we could throw the producers under the bus there, because Terry is going to be pulling all the strings on the show. It's his name, his brand. He's the real actor. Like, he's calling the shots. And so for that reason, he's the worst human being, because he decided to obsess about his daughter's boob job as the pilot episode.
Well, he went along with it at the very least.
Yeah.
What is this, the apex or a downgrade for Terry Bradshaw?
Downgrade.
Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, his apex is obviously like the football career. It's his football career. Even like the commentary is still below that.
I mean, I agree with you. This is a downgrade. Like, him being the comment, like, but this is his thing. When he was the commentator for like Fox, like, that's not his thing, right?
But it's still on the downslope. It's on the downhill, right? Like, his apex was clearly when he won his fourth, you know, Super Bowl ring.
That's fair. And a conversation, I think.
Chris, is it an upgrade or a downgrade from being on The Masked Singer, though? That's the real question.
Whoa.
I think it's an upgrade, for sure.
So he's dipped and he's coming back up.
We have to. We could talk more about the Masked Singer.
Later. Yeah, I'm going with that. It's a downgrade, obviously, from being a Super Bowl like MVP quarterback. Like, that's crushing it, you know. But compared to his acting career, like, he's been in movies, he's been on TV shows, he's done a lot.
He did a movie.
Yeah.
Failure to Launch or something.
Yeah.
There you go. Failure to Launch.
I think this is an upgrade because it's his show, right? Like, that's hard to argue with.
Well, like, are you only considering the upgrade is like whether how much control he has over it or how good the product is? Because if you're judging on the product, that gets a little different, I think.
Yeah, no, definitely not the product. The fact that he's able to use his brand and basically just own a show.
Got it. But I mean, so if you're going by that logic, was like LeBron's peak when he did that Cleveland Hustle show? Because that show was hot garbage.
I don't know. It's a conversation we could have. But I think that there is something to say that you could have your own show. That doesn't mean a whole lot when we're just beating this dead horse of the Bush family has a show. And like people with like 20 kids have a show. And like people are 600 pounds of a show. Like, it is a thing that like you're a high enough tier that you can just say you have a show or you're entertaining enough to have a show. But like, it doesn't mean all that much. It's much harder probably to get into the Fox like commentating than it is to like have your own show.
It's definitely harder to be an NFL quarterback than even the commentating.
Yeah. The NFL quarterback. I mean, we agree, right? The NFL quarterback is his apex. Let's just be clear.
Oh, yeah.
We definitely need like the roller coaster, like, you know, line chart over time on this. There's definitely multiple peaks, but like there's clearly the biggest peak.
Yeah. Like he has a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Even though there's a whole drama about like getting on the Walk of Fame, is it real about money and all that bullshit? Like, he still got it. Like,
no, you want one? You want one? We'll start a fund. We'll start a GoFundMe. We'll get you one.
Yes. Oh man, that would make my 18th dream come true.
All right.
I gotta stay tuned to find out Noah's other 17 top dreams. One each week, a new one.
Yeah, each week we need a new segment for Noah's dream.
Noah's internet dream.
Noah's dream.
Oh no.
All right, James, I need to know what your most baffling or cringeworthy moment is.
Cringeworthy moment, I got it for you. Okay. It is, I can't remember which daughter, but it's the real estate one. Anyway.
Rachel?
Yeah.
Rachel's the one with the real estate, yeah.
Okay, so she's doing the real estate thing. And the whole, like, this segment is all about Terry giving her a FaceTime call. While his wife is in the truck and they're driving somewhere. So they're doing a FaceTime call while driving. So it's already getting a little cringy, but that's not the cringiest moment. We're going to get to that. He wants to do a FaceTime so that he can look his daughter in the eyes and see how she responds to the question about if his other daughter had a boob job, right? So again, this whole boob job thing, getting more cringy. But that's not the most cringy. It gets cringier yet, because when she answers the phone, she's doing this whole like fake pose with the camera, this like ridiculous perfect, you know, angle above her. She's dressed to the nines. She's like pulling out a tray of brownies while answering the phone with the other hand. Like, this thing is just the most staged, cringeworthy moment. And like, it's for that reason I found it just so cringy, because it was just so staged and so badly acted.
Yeah, as I said, Rachel is the weak link in the show. And you also forgot to mention that she also says she got Botox in that same call.
You are so totally right. I definitely forgot about that. But that, I found like that was still down on the cringeworthy side. Like, it was a little surprise factor, but I wouldn't necessarily say cringy. Like, I don't know. Like, I mean,
it's just really like against her. How much of a big deal they've been making about this boob job, and then she gets Botox. It's also just kind of like, how vain, like, both are kind of vain things, right?
So, sure.
That was just, they link in my mind, but like one is, you know, worse than the other, better. I don't give a fuck what either are.
Yeah. But anyways, mostly just like, this was definitely the low point in the show for me, where it just felt so produced, so fake, so staged, terribly executed, terribly acted. And it was just, ugh, So this was definitely like the low point, but then, you know, came back up out of that valley.
So I got a baffling moment here. So they're this pool party, and probably most people missed this, but like the daughter, the granddaughter jumps in and then like comes out of the pool, and like the mom or Tammy or whatever, just like looks like she gives her a real nice like couple pats on the butt, and I'm just like, what is going on? Like, I'm just, it was like really awkward from my perspective, just like how it wasn't just like one slap, it was like it was a good bit. So I thought that was a little baffling. I was like, what's going on in that family? You know, saying it out loud is probably not as baffling as I think it is, but like watching it, I was like, oh, a little baffling. Brian, you got one?
Yeah. So when they're having this argument about the phrase seal the deal, Zuri, Lacey and Noah's daughter, is just like, everybody knows what that means. You're 9. You don't know what that means. Like, what are you doing? Like, why are we teaching this to her?
That's a good point. That's a good one, Brian. Rob, you got one? Noah?
It's kind of along the lines of what we already talked about, but just when he finally has the conversation with the daughter with the boob job, then he goes to give her a hug at the end, but he has to do this like exaggerated thing where it's like he can't get close to her because her boobs are too big for him to hug her properly. That was pretty weird.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that was funny. I thought that was a funny joke to me. I could see it. It's a little, but it's funny because this is a little cringy. That I think that they play with each other.
Man, I am very shocked nobody brought this up yet. So, Terry Dude. Bradshaw seems to really like wearing short shorts. And there are multiple, we can call them like confessionals. It's kind of like these confessionals with Zuri. He's sitting on his very nice couch. He likes wearing big button-down shirts and these short shorts, and it really looks like he's wearing no pants very often throughout the show. That is quite cringeworthy when trying to discern, is Terry Bradshaw naked or not?
Well, he's definitely not naked. He's got a shirt on, but yeah. No, I missed this, and then Max pointed out to me, and I went back, and I was like, "Oh man, you're right." And like, his hand is also hanging. It's like his hand could be covering. It's nuts, and it may or may not be the screenshot we put on the podcast. We'll see.
I also totally missed this. I did not notice that this was a standout thing, but now I feel like it's probably right there in front of you. Just
you were duped. Notice. You were duped, James. All right, my favorite question, favorite minor minutia. I've got a lot for this episode, guys. So, like, I think my favorite one was at some point, like, Bradshaw was, like giving the kids, like, ice cream or something. And then Bradshaw made some sort of weird joke about how he has, like, a Bible. And Bradshaw 326 was convince the child, convince the parent. And I thought that was funny. I thought that was legitimately funny, but a little weird. Brian, you got one?
Yeah, I don't even remember what the hell they were talking about, but like, Jeff, like Lacey knows, like other kid, was just like, they all just shower with whiskey. And I'm like, I have no idea where that context could even be.
I don't remember that either. Rob, you have one?
I don't know if I have one. There's one thing we want to mention, but I think it fits more for the last question, so I'm going to save it.
All right, Max.
There was one throwaway line that I enjoyed, which is the husbands of the couple that lives in Hawaii came to the pool party, and he sort of like rips off his pants, and he has his swimsuit underneath. But he's still dressed up top like it's very cold. So he says, Texas up top, Hawaii down below.
While he was wearing Texas boots, though, I thought it was a little...
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I was like, I didn't understand the Hawaii boots. Noah, do you have one?
Yeah. So I had a TIL moment on the show because Erin Bradshaw, her job is raising pleasure horses. Today I learned a pleasure horse is just like a privately owned horse.
For what sort of purposes?
It's just for whatever the hell you want to do.
For pleasure?
Privately kept horse maintained for pleasure or casual riding, rather than competition or work.
Okay, so it's pleasure or riding, to be clear.
I mean, it's probably just like a pleasant demeanor, so that it's like calm and like will ride with you and isn't like, you know, those race ones could be a little finicky, you know? That's how they, I mean, that's what the shows make it seem like. I have no fucking clue.
The Google smart answer says any breed of horse can be kept for pleasure.
I don't know if I believe you on this one, Google.
It's just like a term I never heard, and that definitely perked my ears up. Other minor minutia, Aaron is married to a guy who likes to dress like a cowboy, and he does not like being on this show one bit.
He is the Jay Cutler of this show.
Scott.
Hey. If he was the Jay Cutler of this show, he'd be the best part of the show. So I don't think that's true.
That's fair.
Yeah, and the show would get canceled because he's the whole show. When he's gone.
Yeah, I mean, Jake, the cut is at least interesting because he doesn't want to be on the show, but he's interesting about it. This guy doesn't want to be on the show, and he's not interesting.
Exactly.
He's in a confessional, and this was going to be my minutia, which is he is just stone-faced. Just solid. Just, yep, I like horses. Next question. You're like, what?
Who is kind of a dick. Like,
yeah.
Go along with it.
No good.
Come on, man.
And vibes.
Yeah.
Maybe he's the worst person. What was that for other question?
Worst human being?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you're right.
He came off the worst in terms of like personas on the show.
So I got a couple more. I got one for, there's a point where like they were still talking about this fucking boob job. I'm so done with this. But the mom says, did they tell you when they got their first pap smear? And I thought that was pretty apt. What else? There was a point where, I don't know what the context was again, but Terry says that, oh, maybe I'll get a scrotum tuck pulling past my ears. And I'm not sure I want to know what that's supposed to mean, but go ahead, Terry. All yours. And my last one was in the next time or the upcoming this season, there was like some scene with Terry and I think Rachel saying that if it doesn't work out, I'll be there for you with ice cream and tequila, which sounds like a terrible combination. But
well, ice cream and tequila, well, that doesn't sound like together or I don't know, even one after the other, both are bad.
I think it sounds a little bit better than the Mountain Dew and tequila, though. So
I have to talk about the Mountain Dew and tequila. As everyone who listens to this pod definitely knows, on the new reboot of Queer Eye, episode one, they introduced us to the Redneck Margarita, which is Mountain Dew and tequila, which is now available at your local, I want to say Red Lobster or Applebee's. They're all the fucking same.
Red Lobster.
Red Lobster.
Do you get the redneck margaritas like before or after the lobster bread roll thingies?
I think you get one before and then you get another one after. Why not?
I just didn't know, like, do you think the flavors like complement each other or, you know, like how does that work, you think?
I don't know, guys. We can't. That was so bad. I can't imagine that's what that drink is. But that's certainly what it looks like.
Yeah. Chris, when we ever see each other again, you and I are supposed to do some redneck margaritas together. So.
Oh, right. Somebody lost a bet or something, right?
Yeah, Chris lost a bet.
Yeah.
More bets. They're so bad. all right. Here's the fun one. Drinking rules. We have drinking rules for this episode. I think, or this show, I think one that Noah would be proud of is anytime you see Terry in short shorts, take a sip. Brian, you got one?
Every time Terry laughs, take a sip.
Whoa. We don't want people to get alcohol poisoning here, Brian. Come on.
Yeah, that's aggressive, Brian. Jeez, easy. It's a Wednesday night.
Brian, Rob, what do you got for me?
I don't know if this one's also too much alcohol poisoning, but I was like, every time Terry makes a very cringy joke, I feel like you should take a drink.
So just all the jokes.
Definitely less than mine, though.
James, you have one?
I got one. Every time the granddaughter makes a clearly obvious ham ploy at the camera.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
That's a good one. Noah, you got one?
Every time they talk about the boob job.
Oh, man.
That only works for one episode, though. Jeez.
We think. Who knows? Maybe this just keeps coming up.
Good.
Okay,
good.
So, like, can we declare that, like, if you play by Brian and Noah's rules, that's, like, hard mode?
Yeah.
Wait till Max's rule. We'll see.
I think if you have Brian and Noah's rule both going, you hold the bottle to your mouth the whole episode and never put it down.
Max, do you have a drinking rule?
Every time he talks about his daughter's boob job, take a sip.
All right. We just said that one, but
so is it so
no, but now it's X2.
Yeah.
It's X2.
Definitely
super hard expert mode.
What is the production schedule? Our favorite question.
Like
so clearly this takes place in this February. Because in the next time on, there is a quarantine segment, so we know it happens in 2020.
Well, it wasn't the next episode, right? That was like this season on.
Yeah, it was a season on or whatever.
Yeah. So like, so it's obviously like between Feb and, you know, let's say July, August.
Some questionable nebulous time. I don't know.
So I'm actually very like the next season. This season on actually kind of piqued my interest a little bit because I'm like, did they actually have to stop filming for a while and they figured out how to start filming again? Like, there's scenes of them like all wearing masks. Terry's talking about how he hates quarantine life. And I'm like, this seems like such a long amount of time to be filming a show. Like, usually we're talking about how they bang these things out in like 2 weeks. And this clearly is like on a decent stretch of time. So I'm kind of fascinated on the production schedule side to kind of see what happens.
When it's filmed for at least a month March. Before quarantine starts. Right. All production has to stop. And then who knows how long after that.
But like, they're wearing masks. And like, when the quarantine first started, there was a lot of like, oh, like, make sure you're not taking masks away from the medical professionals. And then they're like, okay, now make your at-home masks that are different masks. Like, it took a while to get to the point where people were wearing masks as a thing.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. There's definitely there's definitely a gap. They like stop filming and then they restart filming later.
Yeah.
And that could have been a long time. I don't know.
Yeah. Like this episode, they filmed this episode like in a day, right? Like this is all just like one day.
It could have been done in a day, but I don't think it was done in a day. I think this doesn't seem to be your A crew. I think this is probably a couple days of worth of work, I think. That's a
A crew. Yeah. Yeah.
I would guess, like, locations. 2 to 3 days
is my guess.
Yeah.
So this is the minutia I saved because friction controls. They have this great, they're talking about how the other daughters know about the boob job and Terry doesn't. They have this thing where like he found out when they were talking about it by the pool. And there's this thing 3 weeks ago. And it's like, this is the first episode. You're supposed to believe they've been filming this thing for 3 weeks. They're like, no, there ain't no way.
Definitely not. Reenactment. It should have said reenactment.
Reenactment. And so Terry's in the pool, so I guess if it's 3 weeks ago, now it's January, and you're supposed to believe it's not a heated pool. He's in the pool, and it's that like 10-second scene of like the 3 weeks ago was just made no sense in so many levels. It was nuts.
Yeah, that's a good one. I guess what shows inspired this one? Who are its mommies and daddies?
Oh, we know who the mommy of this show is. We already mentioned it.
It's Grizzly Knows Best is definitely
it's not Grizzly Knows Best. It's our Grizzly pal Kim best. And Chloe and Courtney. They're the inspiration of this show.
I don't think we've ever done Kim though. We need to do
we
that.
We haven't done it, but it's definitely the OG of this kind of show.
Okay.
I can't believe we haven't done the Kardashians. Not that I think that I want to.
Because no one wants to do it.
Chris, how close are we to episode 200?
Oh shit!
Not too far off.
We're not like too far off.
Less
maybe
than 10 episodes away, I think.
200.
Well, I have a good idea for 200, but like,
well, we'll take it offline.
We'll take it offline.
So there is a grandmother to the show. if the mom is Keeping Up with the Kardashians, the grandma is The Simple Life, going back to Paris and Nicole. And the and they actually give, like, I think a little wink to it. So early in the episode, Terry speaks about back on the farm, life is simple. I think that is a very much a wink to The Simple Life.
That's a deep cut.
Pretty popular show. I don't know how deep a cut it is. Maybe it's a deep cut for this reality show. All right. Our famous question, the last one, ratings. So we do a stack rating where you have top, middle, or bottom third compared to other reality shows you've watched or we do on this podcast, whatever you want. I don't care. Just don't compare it against Game of Thrones because we know where these things would be. Brian, what do you got for me?
I'm going to go top of the bottom. I think it was better than like some of the other versions of this show that we've watched, but I don't think it was interesting enough for me to keep going. Terry Bradshaw was also kind of funny, and I like watching him on the football.
There you go. Noah, what do you got?
I'm a fan of Terry Bradshaw. I think he's incredibly entertaining in whatever he does. If there wasn't such an obsession with his daughter's boobs, I would put the show higher. But the choices in what they actually decide to produce is cringeworthy. And so it could have been a top show for me, but for those reasons, it's a solid middle show with a lot of potential to go in one direction or another for the rest of the season.
I like that you specified when it's in the middle that it can go either direction.
Well, I mean, it could stay in the middle.
I
don't think it's going to stay in the middle. I think it's either going to get better because there's not this weird father-daughter obsession, or it'll just get worse because Terry continues to be obsessed with different body parts of his family.
Yeah, there you have it, right from Noah. The show can either get better or it can get worse.
Or stay the same, you know?
People tune in for very critical observations of reality TV on this show, and they're getting what they pay for.
All right, Rob, what do you got for me?
I'm a little bit torn on this because, like we compared it to Bush Family Brood, which is terrible, and this is definitely better than Bush Family Brood. I'm not sure that means it's not still a bottom third show. And like Terry's funny. Terry's also cringeworthy. I'm kind of intrigued by this season on with the whole quarantine production schedule bit, but I think in the end it's still got to be a bottom third show. It's definitely not bottom of the bottom, but it's just unless you just want to watch Terry Bradshaw make awkward jokes, there's not a lot going on in the show.
James, what do you got for me?
It's a middle show. You know, I don't think it's very bad or very great. So it's just kind of like, it's good. It's entertaining. It's like a 22-minute show or something like that, plus whatever ads or whatever your situation on that is. It's a pretty like light watch and like something I feel like you don't have to take too seriously. You're not getting too deeply invested or overly worried about anything. So it's just kind of like a chill out kind of show, but right in the middle. But I will say for a James rating, I'm going to put it at the bottom of the middle. A little bit of too much cringy stuff. The jokes are so-so. But, you know, as Noah would say, it could get better or it could get worse or might stay the same.
Max, what do you got for me?
Bottom third, top of the bottom, much better than Bush Family Brood. I would never watch it again.
You know, I really want to put this in the bottom, but I think it's a middle. I think it was fine. I think Terry's funny. The other people aren't terrible actors, although Rachel's probably in that category. So it could, you know, just be this one episode where it's fine. I don't know. But this episode is fine. I thought I laughed, which is more than I could say about a lot of these other kind of shows. So that's where it's going to go. I'm probably not going to watch anymore. So that's where it's going to stay. That's it for our discussion on whatever the fuck the show was, the Bradshaw something. No one cares.
Is it weird he called it the Bradshaw Bunch, and then there's a Tom Brady reference, and it's a reference to the Brady Bunch?
Oh, yeah. Man. Speaking of Tom Brady, there's one minutia we actually didn't talk about. which I gotta get this in.
You got
Terry Bradshaw is wearing his own line of clothing throughout the show.
Oh,
it's and what? It's emblazoned with a TB, like little logo.
Oh, he's trying to overtake the TB thing.
And yeah, so it's like, wait, is he trying to be Tom Brady? And you can't buy this anywhere, though. There's no Terry Bradshaw clothing line to go buy. And so is he making his own logo and putting it on clothing?
That's something you should tweet at Terry Bradshaw and come back to us.
I would love to know.
Or E.
I feel like we'll have to reach out to his family to more likely get an answer.
Well, social media expert over there, you do it. You let it give us a scoop. We need to know.
You gotta find like a producer for the show or something, and like work a connection or something.
See what we can do in the corner.
All right, Rob, we got to talk about it now.
Let's talk about
season four. It's coming. Excited?
I don't know. I kind of am over it, but I'm kind of interested to see what pandemic version looks like.
Like, they're really beating this thing to death. Like,
oh yeah,
it's on constantly. This is like the longest it's not been on since it started.
That might be true. Yeah, but you know, you said it was going to be back in the summer, and then it wasn't. That's how we. That was the Redneck Mercury.
Was that the bet?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if that was the bet or it was the kneeling thing, but that wasn't on the podcast.
Yeah, that was a different bet Chris lost to me.
I'm just making bets. I want my life to be more interesting. So, you know, make some bets.
Isn't the Masked Singer still, like, killing it in ratings? Like, I can't imagine they're going to stop it until it becomes some side distraction.
Yeah, but there's a difference between, like, every time it comes on, you've got strong ratings versus it. You're on constantly, so you just beat it to death, and then no one else will watch it anymore.
How do people feel about, like, American Idol or something like that? Like, I've never really gotten into those shows personally, but I imagine that was a similar sort of...
Well, they had to cancel it. They canceled it at some point.
But it was on for, like many, many years, wasn't it? Like,
yeah.
But one of the things with American Idol they did is they only had it on, like... once a year. It started like in January or something and went to like April.
So it was like a time slot for that season. You got excited about it. It had a conclusion.
And they definitely talked about, oh, they could definitely squeeze in two. They could do one in the fall and one in the spring. And then they never did. And that was part of how it stayed popular so long, so they didn't oversaturate it.
I don't agree with you. At some point, they did like the X Factor in the fall and American Idol in the spring. And they're the same damn show.
Yeah, like, and that's when American Idol's ratings started to drop, that they couldn't resist doubling up.
Yeah, so that's... But future Who Put This On, I'm sure, have you seen the spinoff to The Masked Singer?
I actually haven't seen the trailer yet, but I heard about it.
I haven't seen the trailer either, but it's called I Can See Your Voice. What the fuck is that supposed to mean?
Did you see the commercial for it?
What was that, James?
I saw the commercial, and then all of a sudden it made more sense. So have you seen an ad or like?
So I can read the descriptions. The only thing I know about it.
Go ahead and read it right now. Then I'll respond. So
each week, one contestant will have the chance to win a cash prize if he or she can tell the difference between the good and bad singers without ever hearing them sing a note.
Exactly. So the piece that, and I felt like the description weird until I kind of saw it and then it clicked, which is the key thing is like, imagine the singers, you can see them through like, say, a glass wall, but it's totally soundproof. And so you get this view of them and they are belting out whatever song that they have chosen to sing or what have you. And then the judges are doing like the American Idol or, you know, Next Top Singer or whatever, you know, insert show name here. They're like choosing if they like they're giving them a rating on their performance, but it's purely just on visual. Like they don't hear anything. So I'm kind of intrigued, to be honest. Like, I think we should do this show.
I mean, we're going to do it, but I'll give you a prediction of what the show rating is going to be.
Oh,
it's going to be bottom third garbage because I don't care. Well, like who, like, what do you mean? Can you see people sing? What? That's so dumb. Who comes up with this shit?
It's the new take on American Idol. I don't know. But like, here's the thing, I agree with you. I kind of want to see for all of about like 4 to 5 minutes, and then I want to be done with it.
This was definitely an acid-inspired show.
I don't know. It kind of reminds me of Naked Attraction. Just like deep cut. No one knows what that show is, but like
I remember it. But like,
no, I mean, I remember the show, but like, I'm failing to see the connection.
Because you're trying to date this person, you don't know anything about them, but all you're doing is looking at them. It's the same thing. It's like trying to figure out how good they can sing by just looking.
Well, but the yes, and the one additional piece is they are actually singing the song, like they are performing that song, like in a soundproof booth, right? So like,
what does that have to do with anything?
Well, like you can see me. I don't know. Like the one theory
you can't is you see can how people can sing. How, like that's
the whole show, Chris. I don't know. We got to find out. We got to tune in.
I can tell you right now, you can't. Let's move on.
That's the whole show. Like that's clearly the whole stick is like, oh, we're gonna go with contestant number three, right? And then they play the thing for contestant three, and they can't sing. And everyone's like, oh man, this person's terrible. Like you should have chosen number one.
But it like that's gonna you're be just guessing. It's 50-50. Like who? Like
it's just well, so Chris, next week we'll do a deeper investigation and we'll answer all the.
I don't
questions.
Know when it's coming out. Is it coming
premieres
out?
Literally 1 week from today. So
all right, next week up. We can do it.
Yeah, we gotta get the queue going.
I've just seen that the host is Ken Jeong, which definitely leads to the bottom third of possibilities.
Oh, yeah. Could be next week for sure. We'll find out.
We'll find out.
Anyone else been watching anything? They want to talk about James?
Yeah, I have watched the first two episodes of Shaq Life. The King Diesel, Shaquille O'Neal. He's got his own reality show. Although, I don't know, is this like his fifth, sixth show? I've lost count of how many different things he's done. No spoilers, but I'm going to say it's a cousin of this show.
It seems like it would be, to be honest.
It's definitely like a cousin. More focused on like Shaq and his shit, but like so far, I got to say, I'm pretty entertained. Pretty good narration. Pretty funny to watch.
All right, put it in the queue, James. Show.
Couple of interesting hooks. I would say we should check it out for the podcast, maybe.
Does Cribs count? Is that one of his shows?
He appeared on Cribs. I wouldn't say that was a like there was like Shaq versus like that's the kind of shows that I'm thinking of.
You've never done Shaq versus.
Oh my god! Should we do a Shaq month? Can that
Shaq month? Let's do it.
Wasn't there like a Facebook Watch show with Shaq on it?
I hope not.
Probably.
I don't know, but I guess we're going to find out in Shaq mode.
Kill me now.
I'll just mention that I went to the drive-in a couple weekends ago and saw Tenet. So no spoilers, but I've seen Tenet, which was fun.
Yeah. Trying to rub it in all our faces again. We got it.
I got to tell you, Rob, I went and watched the trailer after hearing about your Tenet experience. And I'm confused as hell just from the trailer.
Oh yeah,
I can't imagine the movie. But looking forward to checking it out one day, hopefully.
Yeah. So I told the story of I first saw someone sent me the trailer over Christmas last year, and I told my wife Emmy, "Oh hey, I just watched the trailer for the new Christopher Nolan movie. You should definitely watch it." She's like, "Oh cool, what's it about?" And I said, "I have no idea."
Yeah. Definitely an obtuse filmmaker for sure. I think that's it for us this week. You can find us on Twitter at @WhoPutThisOn. You can find us on Facebook.com/WhoPutThisOn. You can email us questions and suggestions at WhoPutThisOn@gmail.com. And we'll see you guys next time.
How many baseball hats can you wear? 10? 20? No one knows.
There's a limit. Physics has a limit for this.
Somebody get their math books out.